Our second reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. Please listen for God's word to you today. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even unto death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then when he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." Her pedigree name was Brook Lane's Downy Matilda. We called her Tilly for short. Tilly was a Gordon setter. If you do not know what a Gordon setter looks like, envision a large Irish setter, all black with red points on her mush, her eyebrows, her paws, rather like a Doberman, but with lush feathering on her paws, her stomach, and her tail. When Tilly was a puppy, she would accompany my husband Steve in the yard while he did yard work. Now our house sat at the end of a cul-de-sac on a rather large pie-shaped lot in a neighborhood that does not allow fences. So when Steve did the landscaping, he planted many trees, most of them around the periphery of the yard. And when he did the yard work, he trained Tilly not to go past the trees. Consequently, from the time that she was a puppy, Tilly was very good about staying in our yard. Until the next door neighbor boys took an interest in Tilly. When Christopher and Eric got old enough to play outside, unattended by a parent, they began to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly. Tilly, in turn, would lie on the driveway near the garage with her head on her paws and watch them watch her. As they continued to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly, Tilly would begin to shift her weight from side to side on her elbows as she watched them watch her. Then as they continued to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly, Tilly would lift up her head and look straight at them as she watched them watch her. Then as they continued to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly, Tilly would begin to wag her tail as she watched them watch her. And then as they continued to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly, Tilly would sit up and start to twitch as she watched them watch her. And then as they continued to stand at the end of the driveway and stare at Tilly, Tilly would stand up and, losing all self-control, she would bolt down the driveway and run out into the street to see Christopher and Eric. Now, Christopher and Eric were afraid of dogs, so in response, they would run away screaming. Tilly thought this was a grand game, so she'd run after them. And although I asked the boys not to stand at the end of the driveway staring at Tilly, because it tempted her to leave our yard, this game continued for several weeks until one day when I was not outside to monitor the situation and our doors and windows were closed so I could not hear the screaming boys. What I did hear was the doorbell ringing over and over and over again. When I opened the door, I was greeted by my next door neighbor who began screaming obscenities about my dog running loose and chasing his boys. The next day, my husband Steve buried a wire for an electric dog fence around the periphery of the yard, set red flags between all of the trees and bought Tilly a shock collar, which would give Tilly an electrical jolt if she went past the trees and tried to leave our yard. The Bible tells us that we human beings are rather like my dog, Tilly. Given the freedom to eat every tree of the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil, just like Tilly was tempted by Christopher and Eric, Eve was tempted by the serpent. And losing her self-control, not only eats of the forbidden fruit, but invites Adam to join her in the feast. Humanity was tempted into disobedience. In the face of temptation, we lost our self-control. As a result, we lost our freedom and fell into bondage to sin. Nevertheless, given God's abounding love for us and God's desire to be in personal relationship with his creation, God called the people of Israel to be his own people, and through them, God set up a boundary for humanity in the law, which is centered on the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet. Very good rules for living if you wanted to stay alive and well in the ancient world. Rather like Tilly's dog fence, which kept her safe from getting lost, from getting into a fight with another dog, or getting bitten by a rabid raccoon, or picking up a deadly disease, or even getting hit by a car, and which kept our neighbors from being annoyed by a wayward dog who could be a nuisance. Unfortunately, unlike Tilly's fence, humanity's fence, the law, did not keep Israel from wandering away. So God sent his only son to deliver us all from the ways of sin and death. By the obedience of his life, by his suffering upon the cross, and by his resurrection from the dead. And he, in turn, sent us, the Holy Spirit, to walk along with us, calling us back into relationship with God and guiding us in our journey through life with him. The last fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists in Galatians chapter 5 is self-control. The Greek word translated as self-control and kartos is a combination of two words, en meaning in, and kratos meaning strength, power, or dominion. So that in combination, en kratos means literally strength within. To ancient Greek and Roman philosophers known as the Stoics, Enkratos described a characteristic of a person who is able to morally restrain himself or herself, especially when confronted by the temptation of evil pleasures. Consequently, Christianity often views Enkratos as restraint from fleshly desires as opposed to spiritual desires, such as those listed by Paul in Galatians in chapter 5, just before Paul listed the fruit of the Spirit. He admonished the Galatians to restrain from fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, factions, envy, drunkenness, and carousing. Such a list for Christians today might include restraint from sexual promiscuity, self-indulgence, self-righteous anger, hatred, ideological intemperance or political zealotry, judgmentalism, exclusivism, gossip, self-pity, even addiction to media, such as TV, the internet, or video games. And Kratos, as strength within, however, is not limited to restraint from doing certain things. And Kratos is strength within that also includes the self-discipline and drive to do certain things, such as be gentle when we would rather be harsh, being faithful when we would rather not try, being generous when we would rather be selfish, being kind when we'd rather be mean, being patient when we'd rather give up, being peaceful when we'd rather be agitated, being joyful when we'd rather sulk, being loving when we would rather be loved. It is the fruit of the Spirit that is self-control, which gives us strength within to do what God wants us to do, to bear the fruit of God's Spirit, and to become who God wants us to be. About a year before Tilly died, the control box on our electric dog fence died. By the time we replaced it, the wire in the ground had a break in it. Now, normally, when the wire got a break in it, Steve had been working in the yard, and so he knew where the break was likely to be, and he could quickly identify the location and fix it. This time, however, we did not know where it had broken. Consequently, Steve did not know where the break was likely to be, and he couldn't identify its location, and we could not fix it. She was an old dog. It was really expensive to start again, so we didn't replace it. It took Tilly about 6 months, but she finally figured out that she no longer got an electrical jolt when she went past the trees, and she left our yard. She began to wander away. She wandered into the yard behind us to visit their old dog, Abby. She wandered into another yard behind us to chase the birds. She wandered into another yard behind us to play with the children, who called out her name. She wandered into the next door neighbor's yard to visit their now teenagers and friends as they were having backyard barbecues and mooch some hot dogs. Tilly wandered. Indeed, one day, a neighbor who lived on the other side of the block and on the opposite side of the street brought her back to us on a leash. After that day, we went out with Tilly every time she left the house to ensure that she did not wander away. However, even though we went out with Tilly, there were times when she would still leave the yard, for we didn't take her on a leash. We let her walk free as we walked alongside of her. Consequently, Tilly would occasionally bolt out of the yard if she was tempted by a running rabbit or tempted by the birds in the neighbor's bird feeder. Or she'd even wander off if I happened to be on the telephone. As she figured out, I wouldn't yell for her to come back, so off she'd go. Aren't we rather like my dog, Tilly? Paul tells us in Galatians 5, you are called to freedom, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. God gives us the Holy Spirit to live within us. Even though the Holy Spirit is here within us, waiting to support us and guide us, we will still continue occasionally to indulge ourselves, letting our own desires rule our lives, much like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, who were too tired after a big meal to stay awake and wait for Jesus while he prayed, Father, if this cup cannot pass from me unless I drink, thy will be done. Each and every day, we face the question of who will we follow? Will we follow the disciples who slept, or Jesus who prayed, thy will be done, and then took up his cross? the answer to that? We'll answer another question. Who rules your life? You or God? Amen.